Outside the Pizza Box is an independent product and has a time brokerage agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Welcome to another edition Outside the Pizza Box. You're tuned in to Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM in Madison, and then also 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw in Waukesha. Caw-caw! And I don't know how much longer this hour from here will be heard out there, or if they're changing it already, but at least we're still heard here in Madison, right? The too far left. Anyway, summer's half over, and can we rise before the fall, Jason?
What's going on, man? How are you feeling about what's transpired this week?
Well, I mean, let's talk about some of the things that transpired first before we even talk about, like, the Wisconsin Senate race. Because I'm okay with whichever Democrat is running, obviously. You and I talked before. I told you what I was upset about, and that's kind of the way they went around doing it, and it just reminds me of, you know, when you think you're going to have an election and everybody drops out of the race and everybody, you know, endorses the other one, and you kind of wonder, well, you know, that's not, why did you have the primary then? I mean, couldn't you guys all got together at the beginning and figured this out? And I hate polls and I hate all that other stuff. And it's like, I'm not going to get in on this one. Okay. That's what I'm going to say.
I gotcha. Hey, I got one quick thing, you know, for whoever's listening, Democratic Party, you want to coin this, go for it. But you should be all the social posts for your run for, if it's Mandela Barnes or whatever now, just to do hashtag non-Johnson, hashtag the non-Johnson. Okay. And then that's what people vote for, the non-Johnson. That's what I'm voting for.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. So at least we got some slogans coming out already. And mine was, you know, it's always been, my slogan for Ron Johnson is less Ron Johnson, not moron Johnson.
Got a couple of good ones there.
Well, yeah.
You should probably pay us for those, you know.
That is, you know, I've always been accused of being a bumper sticker every 5 to 10 minutes, right? So I have some serious value. But are we going to rise up against this, oh my God, fanatical religious push to the top?
Ooh.
are you nervous and scared?
I mean, I am.
I am not.
You're not?
Okay. No.
All right.
This battle between good and evil has been fought since the beginning of time. And I'm totally okay with, like, kicking ass against evil.
All right.
And you know what? It's not a violent thing. But since I brought it up that way, I just said kicking ass. Let's get this. My friend, okay, he's 60 years old. I'm 61. We were, like, a year apart in high school, right? And he went to a different school than me, but we were both in wrestling, and he placed at state the year after I graduated. So I waited a year before I went to college, and then all of us wrestlers, you know, gathered up at Whitewater. Great school to go to if you're a drunk and at this point a Republican fascist bastard, because I know all the legislators that have come out of there. And
well, Whitewater's turned some things around now. They do have some nice programs, especially for people needing to do, like, remote classes and stuff. I know some good friends that have utilized Whitewater to get a second degree or whatever. And so that setup is nice. I can't speak to, you know, the on-campus life, but I know some people that used it.
Say, if I had just focused on education and not mixing with some of this,
what would you be right now?
But anyway, okay, I'm sorry. I went on and on, but we were on the wrestling team together, right? Yeah. And I was the starting 118-pounder, and the only reason why I was, we didn't have wrestle-offs against each other. We practiced and stuff, but I was going to tournaments and placing higher than the guys that were also at my, or if they even bothered going, because I got my ass kicked a couple times, okay, by big colleges, you know, going to the Northern Open in Madison and wrestle Iowa, Iowa State, Oklahoma, and maybe run into my own brother was All-American at Indiana State and at my weight. Thank God he was sick that weekend. He did not. He did not get in. But I think I won two and I lost two. And one of them I got squawked. They call it when you guy tucks your head under and you go, ah, because you think your neck's going to break. So you flip over onto your back and try to pin yourself because it's not feeling good at this point. That was the only time I got pinned in college and in high school.
Did they let you tap out? Like if you're in a really bad
spot? No, I tapped my own ass out, man. Oh, yeah. I forced my other shoulder down. I was like, I mean, my nose was pasted to my bicep over here, and I could see a little bit of spray of blood. So, it wasn't fun, okay? It never was fun wrestling in college. It was fun in high school because there were things called fish back then, and some of your matches were easy. None of these are. It's all guys that either didn't accomplish what they wanted to. So, anyway, he's talking about, I'm recovering, you know, he had a minor stroke earlier. There's nothing minor about a stroke, but thank God it didn't, like, you know, debilitate him. And then he got hit by a car, right? And so he's talking about how he's almost 100%. Now, back in Whitewater, freshman year, he ended up breaking my wrist in practice, okay? And I wrestled a couple times. I was like, damn, something just happened there, man. That did not feel right. Mm. And I kind of knew, you know, but I didn't get, like, nauseous like you usually do when you, like, break a bone or something. So we had a tournament coming up, and cutting weight was a drag, and I'm, you know, I'm wrestling 118, which would have been easy now that I have cancer. I've been below that. I could have wrestled 105, but I wouldn't have been much alive. So anyway, he's talking about he's getting better, you know, and I said, man, I'm missing a kidney, cancer, emphysema, sciatica. I'll still kick your ass. And he says, which I didn't get to see because he didn't see the comment right away. But I laughed when I said it, right? You know, a little emoji laughing. And it says we're friends. And so he says, yeah, just try it. I'll break your arm over and over and over and over again. Because he broke my arm at practice. Well, the next morning, I'm like, booted for 24 hours, you know, for violence, you know, and I'm like, oh, come on, that's outrageous, you know. Yeah, we were roommates after, you know, college a while, you know, he knew my wife, and then after I got separated, I went to Illinois and started working with him, stayed in the same apartment, and yeah, it was great, right? I got a good friend back, you know, that was college buddies, and so then he calls me. I sent him a message. He calls me on Facebook with the video. So there he is. I think he was partying. It's pretty late, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to answer it. And because we haven't talked to each other in several years now, about seven or eight maybe. And he's had some bad things happen to him. So, all right, I'm going to answer it. And he starts laughing, and he says, yeah, man, they warned me for saying that about breaking your arm over and over and over again in violence. And I'm like, Nobody put that into Facebook. That's like an automatic. And then I made a comment on another friend of mine. See, and here's a lot of the things. I get booted off on.
So you're saying Facebook warned him for that comment?
Is
that
But they gave me a 24 hours, you know, because what? I really, what? We're not friends, and
but you're in the
I didn't explain that.
You got penalty boxed? Okay.
Which, I mean, I say a lot worse of things. Come on. It was obviously we're messing around with each other, especially with the way his comment came back, and he's laughing, and he laughed at what I said. Oh, well. Anyway, that's the way it goes. But it always happens to me and the friends of mine that are non-white when we're joking around between each other. I think that's what it is. Now, do they have an algorithm that does that? I don't know. But he knows my wife. We were roommates. You know, I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. So I got to be careful. So and another guy, you know, he's talking about Herschel Walker. And I said, oh, yeah, man. And you know, he doesn't even know that the crackers are laughing at him, not with him. And Facebook goes, hey. You know, it's just, this could get you. I'm like, okay, delete it, man. And then I send him a message. And he's going, no way, man. You got to say it. You got to. And I'm like, dude. Then I showed him my Facebook jail inmate thing. No, I'm not doing it. I'm trying to stay on because, yeah, believe it or not, I have a lot of fun when I'm on Facebook. I don't do a lot of stressing out. I mean, I'll bring a subject up, you know. I was like, wow, $1.1 billion lottery ticket. Well, hell, that's enough to run for school board nowadays. And I got a lot of reactions out of that. I think a lot of people understand that money is what wins elections. And but see, that's the thing about Mandela that we were, you know, is kind of cool, right? It's different. It's the person with the big money isn't still on the ticket or still in the race. You know, who knows,
right,
you know?
Right.
But these far right people, I mean, Marjorie Taylor, oh no, she's a Christian being persecuted.
Yeah.
Oh.
I love when they just
she's
themselves.
A Cro-Magnon being called out for what she is.
That's the part that's scary to me is they cloak themselves in the, you know, the Christian cloth and it's
what?
Like, Jesus,
is somebody trying to tell me that she leads some kind of moral behavior within a religious organization?
Please do not tell me she's advising anyone about how to be a human being because it's...
No, she's talking about Christianity and what that means. And then you got, Doug Mastriano was the worst. Gracious. He was talking about, you know, we need Christians and we need moral leaders. And he says the best times in American history were when we had conservative Christians in power. And he said those were the greatest times of wealth. And I just, at that point, I just stopped and I was like, greatest time of wealth reminds me of Jesus a lot, doesn't it? You're the anti-Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't have to say the Antichrist either. I can say you guys are anti-Jesus.
There you go. There you go.
You really are.
I like it.
Even though you're listening to the Antichrist. See, because I can't determine who goes to heaven or hell if there's a story that ends that way. Well, you know I already believe in purgatory first, right? The recovering Catholic.
Yeah. You've been clear about that. Dude, everyone knows that it's been better when you were ruled by the white Christians. Like, are you?
Do they consider what Native Americans and you know African Americans and Mexican Americans and Asian Americans and anybody that's something American in this country because we're the great melting pot, right? Send us your hungry and your weak and your poor, and we'll welcome them into this great land of ours. And then the people on the that listen to that far right nonsense, they actually believe that people coming in get a free meal ticket and all this money and stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, if people are really that jealous, oh yeah, turn it up. Because worlds are colliding right now. Mine with the far right Christian fanatic. Anybody with me?
Now who's alive?